Well, your mailbox is full with notes from the Apostle John. Today, please find 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And I will tell you that this text describes the believer in Jesus Christ as an overcomer. Now, the word overcomer means to get the better of in competition, or to suppress, prevail over, to overwhelm, to win. So, a winner, a conqueror, one who overcomes. And that presupposes that we have an adversary against whom we must overcome. And so I just want to tell you right up front that according to what the Bible says, the follower of Jesus Christ is a winner. So how about it? Isn't it great to be a winner? Don't you love to win? We lived in Arkansas for about 3.5 years. And during those fall times, the Razorbacks at that time were a really good football team. And they didn't lose very often. When they would win on Saturday, church the next day was awesome. People were excited. They were positive. They were affirming. They were joyful. They were cordial. And it was really good. But if they lost on Saturday, man, church was the pits. It was like preaching in a tomb. They were bitter. They were sarcastic. They were complaining. Man, I want to tell you, Razorback fans, back in those days, they wouldn't tolerate losing. They loved to win. But we all love to win. We love to win in sports, certainly. We love to win if we're involved in the arts. We love to win scholastically. We love to win in our career, in our business. We love to win with our families. So winning is really good. Now, in order to win, there's some things you got to do. You have to practice. You have to study. You have to prepare. You have to stay focused. You have to have a clear goal in mind. And then you just have to work hard. You also have to avoid the stuff that will trip you up. And so all these combines to help us become a winner in whatever issue or activity where we find pleasure and a passion. And so I just remind you that some of you remember this, some of you won't, but for many years, the Dallas Cowboys in their early stages, they were winning some, but they would always lose when they got into the playoffs. By the way, you know, the Cowboys went to the playoffs about like 20-something years in a row. You remember that, anybody? Today, we're ecstatic if they make it 1 year in a row. But anyway, they couldn't win the Super Bowl, and so they got a tag put on them as a team that couldn't win the big one. Anybody remember that? Couldn't win the big one. Well, they finally won the Super Bowl, and they took the tag off, and all is well. But today, the title message is winning the big one. And so, John has a lot of things to say about being an overcomer, a conqueror, a winner. So, let's begin. The first verse of this text gives us the source of the overcomer. And it is from this source that everything else flows. Everything flows from this. Notice what he says. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. And so when you just boil everything down, this is the source of it all. It's the source from which we get our strength, our motivation, everything about us that takes us to the place where we're in the winner's circle. And so without this, we are left living our life, facing the challenges and the adversity and all the stuff that happens. We're basically facing that with our own abilities, with our own strength, our own talent, maybe a network or two, but we're basically on our own without God being involved in the process. And so this then is the absolute source of everything that follows in this message and really of everything that follows in your life and in mine. So, it's speaking of and referencing what we would call the new birth. John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus is interviewing a religious leader. And so, in the context of the conversation, he said this, Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, I think it's very interesting some things that Jesus did not put in there. He did not say, you've got to be a good person. He did not say that you had to do good works. He did not say that you had to be a part of a church. He did not say that you had to do anything. He put one requirement on getting into the kingdom of God, and he said, what you've got to do is you have got to be born again. I'll tell you, there's a lot of people who are doing the very best they can and living the best that they know how, and they're hoping that that's going to get them into heaven. But I want to tell you something. That is not the source of our strength. We're going to fail every time if we don't have this basic thought of being born again correctly. And so, what does this kind of mean? It says you've got to believe that Jesus is the Christ. And that word believe is full of meaning. It does not simply mean that you agree in your mind to a set of facts. Say, yeah, I believe Jesus is God's Son, and so everything is good with me. It's a whole lot more than that. It is belief, it is trust, it is placing your life in His hands. It is where a relationship is established. So how it works is Jesus Christ is presented to us. Somebody tells us who He is and what He did for us by going to the cross. He's raised from the dead. And when we trust in Him, we receive eternal life and forgiveness. And so we hear that and we open our heart to embrace that and we receive Him as Savior and as Lord, as Master, and that changes us. We are forgiven, and that changes us. The Holy Spirit, God, comes to live within us, and that changes us. And we're given the gift of eternal life, and we know that, and that affects the way that we live. And so we become a different person. The curse of sin has been lifted, and we become a brand new person because we've been born a second time. Now, I'm not a chef. I'm not a cook. Other people cook. I eat. But if you were a chef, you were a cook, you would know that you can take a batch of dough and you can put just a little bit of yeast in it or leaven and you let it sit. And what happens to it? It grows and that yeast takes over, doesn't it? Just a little pinch, a little dabble, do you? Somebody said a lot of Christians are that way. Brill cream Christians, a little dabble, do you? A little dabble leaven will do you. Y'all said, what's Brill cream? Sorry. Look it up. Google it. And so that's what the kingdom of God is like, is what the scripture says. You get this entry point. You're born again. The Lord comes into your life, and He begins to spread. And He takes over your whole life. And it's a change in your life, a change in your lifestyle, a change in your convictions, a change in your desires, because you've been given a brand new heart. You're different. You're changed. Now, having said that, let me issue kind of a warning, because American Christianity, in quotes, is causing people to trust in a grace that does not exist. And what I mean by that is, it is saying that you can trust in the grace of Jesus Christ and it doesn't have to impact your life. And so I'm just telling you, that does not exist. Because if you really get born again, it does affect your life. It affects your behavior. We're living in days when there's this gigantic disconnect. Where, yeah, I got faith in Jesus Christ, but that doesn't affect the way that I live. It's not going to matter. It's not going to affect my convictions. It's not going to affect my lifestyle. It's not going to impact that, but I got this sewed up over here. I'm just telling you, that is a grace that does not exist. Because true faith, true being born again, compacts our whole life. And we're given a new life and a new heart and a new spirit. And we're changed because we have gotten this incredible injection of Jesus Christ into our lives. So I would say to you, as we're thinking about being a winner, the source from which everything flows to be a winner or a conqueror is that you have been born again. Now, I want to say this to you before we move on. It's great to live a good life. I recommend it. It's great to help other people. That is a wonderful thing. It's great to do good things and all that. I say that is great. But I'm telling you, do not leave the day until you can say with assurance, I know that I'm born again. Jesus Christ has come into my life. I can see Him continuing to just overwhelm my whole life. It's continuing to take over. There's a growth. The yeast is in the dough. And the dough swelling. and the dough's getting full of yeast. And I know that is true. Now, notice there's a word, that first word of the verse. Look down at your phone or your Bible and somebody read that word to me. 1 John 5:1. Where is everyone? That covers us all, doesn't it? What that means to you is that none of you, none of us, have to be left out. That Jesus Christ is available to every one of us. Somebody has well said that if we're living here and this is the door of salvation, above the door it says, whosoever will may come. And after we go through the door and we give our life to Christ, we look back at the same door and on the safe side of it, it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you, now go and bear fruit. Now that doesn't make sense to anybody until you've actually gone through the door. But if you're on the outside looking in, I'm telling you the door is open. And if you will place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then you will be born again, you will be forgiven, the Holy Spirit will come into your life, you'll have eternal life, and I'm telling you, that will impact you and change your life forever. And so that is the source of being an overcomer. The second thing that I want you to note is the sequence of an overcomer. It's described in verses 2 through 5. Take a look at it. It says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. Now, if you underline stuff in your Bible, that would be a really good phrase to underline. It says, His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And so he lays out there the sequence of becoming and being a winner, a conqueror, an overcomer. And the first part is to love God. Now, I just talked about that in point number one, the source of being an overcomer. Everybody got that? Love God? Do I need to go back and preach point one again? No, you got it? Please don't let him do that. And so we establish a relationship, we're born again. And again, remember, that is the source. Without that, none of this other is going to be possible. And so you've got this source. You've got the source of power, the source of motivation, the source of change that helps bring this all about. And so you love God. And so the second sequence is to love one another. Now, I don't know about you, but working through 1 John, I'm getting kind of tired of him telling me to love one another. I think it's 43 times up to this point in four chapters. Love one another, love one another, love one another. John, I get it, love one another. I guess he's going to keep saying it till we start doing it. And so living in community, being a part of a small group, Bible fellowship in our context, being a part of a church family, meeting the needs of one another. Now here's why that is crucial if we're going to be an overcomer. As we live our life, occasionally we hit a rough spot. Anybody ever hit a rough spot? And when you hit a rough spot, it's danger because you're in a rough spot. There's adversity, there's pain, there's heartache. It's a bad place to be. And so as we're overcoming, it is incredible to have someone who can come up beside us and interlock arms with us and say, you know what? I'm going to kind of walk with you through your rough spot. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to encourage you. You can lean over here on me, and I'm going to help walk you through the rough spot. If you don't have somebody that helps walk you through the rough spot, you might not end up being a winner. You may not be an overcomer. You may get overcome. And so we have support. Now, here's the deal. Once we get through the rough spot, we can kind of look back at that and say, well, that wasn't so bad. I'm still standing. And the reason you're still standing is because there was a support team that helped walk you through it. That lets you help somebody else when they're going through their rough spot. Now, there's some of you right now this moment, you're in one of those rough patches of life. Stuff is not going well for you right now in any number of ways. And I want to tell you, if you're a part of a community, you know what? You got somebody who cares about you and somebody who is there walking with you through that. You do. And you're going to get through it. You're going to look back and say, thank you guys for helping me. It really wasn't that bad. But if you've come in today and you've got nobody in a group support, then here's the deal. Nobody can help you because probably nobody knows. And if nobody knows, I mean, really? And so this support group, loving one another. Now here's the reality of it. Everybody today either is in a rough patch right now, or you just came out of one, right? Or you don't know it yet, but you're about to hit one. That's the way life works. You're either about to hit it, or you're in it now, or you just came out of it. And so the biblical injunction is love one another through those storms, through those challenges, mutual support, accountability. It's all the way that we become overcomers. We win. We win. We overcome. It doesn't overcome us. So you got the first step. You got the source, a relationship with Jesus Christ, born again, that expresses itself by community. You're plugged in. You got a support group. And I will tell you, if you don't have that support group today, again, the door is open for you to do that. You can become a part of our church family today. We'd love for you to do that. If you're not, you can certainly find a small group that you can be a part of that will help walk you through stuff, and you can help some other folks becoming an overcomer. So I hope you do that. The third sequence is obedience. You can see it in the passage. Obedience is simply following the teachings of Jesus Christ revealed in the Bible. Now, there's a great passage in Proverbs chapter 3. When we talk about Proverbs 3, almost everybody goes to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But Proverbs 3, 1 through 4 is really awesome. Listen to what it says. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, obedience. It will give you length of days and years of life, and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And then look at that next verse. Amazing. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Obedience is connected to winning. It's connected to being an overcomer. It's connected to winning the big one. Now, the thought of obedience may bring you thoughts of dread. Are you telling me I got to obey stuff? I don't want to obey stuff. And your mind may go, well, if I think about obeying, then it's difficult. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes obeying God is difficult. But it's not so difficult when you realize that God has the big picture in view, and we're limited on short term. It may seem difficult on the short term, but if we could see how it fits in the big picture, it would not be so difficult at all. But you may think it's too difficult. I can't obey God. Oh, yes, you can. And then some say, well, it's sacrificial. I hear the word obedience, I think I've got to give up something. I had to sacrifice something. Well, sometimes it does require sacrifice. And that is anathema to our culture. But is it really? Not really. People will sacrifice everything they have for success. People will sacrifice a whole lot for the kids, athletic stuff, and so on. We will sacrifice a whole bunch for our toys. Am I right? And so it's not hard to sacrifice for something we're passionate about. And so, let's go back to where we started. When we have the source right, born again, we become passionate about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're loving one another. And who could imagine not willing to make any sacrifice we need to for the one who made the ultimate sacrifice for us? So it all flows from that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I found obeying the Lord difficult or sacrificial, whatever, it ends up being delightful. Because when you obey the Lord, He then steps into your life and starts to do stuff. And that is incredible when you think about it. God working and doing through our lives. Okay, I'm going to date myself. I'm going to date some of you. I'm going to give the first line of a song, and I'm going to trust that you can give me the second line. Okay? We'll make a game show out of it. If you can't do it, you're going to hell. No, we won't do it that way. It's the third service. I'm telling you, I'm no longer accountable for anything I say. Okay, ready? He ain't heavy. Hey, see there? Y'all are going to make it to heaven. That wasn't hard, was it? And I thought, well, that songwriter came up with that, but he didn't. Do you know there's a story of truth behind that? Years ago, there was a young man who was walking around with another young man attached to his back. And the kid that was attached to his back had some issues with his body, couldn't move, couldn't get around. And somebody commented to him and said, hey, that kid must be heavy. And the kid's response was, no, sir, he's not heavy. He's my brother. So the love made the load very light. The same is true with these commandments of God. No, they're not heavy. They're not hard because we have this relationship with Him. He is the source of our strength. Now, I've been very frustrated this morning because I'm going to go back to a little phrase that I have talked to y'all about like at least 1,000 times. And in the second service, not a single person could finish it. Okay, I'm going to see if y'all are better. Y'all are better than that second group, right? But talking about being a winner, there's a bunch of losers that say so. Okay. To be the man or the woman that you want to be, you have to. Okay, I'm just going to go beat my head on this wall again. You have to do the thing you don't want to do. To be the man, the woman you want to be, you've got to do the thing you don't want to do. Give you an illustration. What I want to do, the man I want to be, is a man who stands back here week after week, and I preach to you a biblically sound message, and I do so in spirit and truth with passion and conviction. And that's the man that I want to be. Now, in order to get there, I have got to spend significant time during the week prior to this studying, going through the Scripture, praying, putting together the message, crafting that out. And if I don't do that, I will not be. Now, to be honest with you, the study part I really don't like. I don't like studying. I just don't like it. Sometimes you're tempted to go to the internet and pull up one of our friends' sermons down in Houston and do it. I don't know. But in order to be the man I want to be, I got to do the thing I don't really want to do. And so I'm a week-by-week plotter. I will start next Sunday's message tomorrow, and then the next one the next Monday. And so I've got to do what I really don't want to do in order to be the kind of man that I want to be. And so for you and for me, what that's obedience is what that looks like. I will tell you one time in my life, I went into a pulpit, and I was not prepared, and I just winged it. And I don't know if anybody knew it, but I knew it. God knew it. It was the most miserable 30 minutes of my life. And you said, must have been a long time ago if you just went 30 minutes. So I said, I told God, I'm never going to do that again. And so maybe you're living your life here and you've got this relationship that you really need to go make right. You don't want to do it. But to be the guy, the woman that you really want to be, you've got to do it. It's an issue of obedience. And when you step out in that obedience, again, it releases God to step into your life. And the source of it, remember, you're not doing it on your own. The source of it is you've got this relationship with Jesus Christ, and He's taking over your whole being. You're in community with other believers who are helping you along, and now you've reached this obedience. You're going to take a step. Now, let me ask you this. After each of these little sub-points, I'm kind of asking you a question. What's the next step for you in your obedience to God? What's the next step? You say, I don't even have any idea what the next step is. Well, that's kind of a dangerous place to be. But if you know what the next step is, would you just tell God today, I'll do that? It could be the first step, to say yes to Jesus Christ and be born again. It could be to say yes to baptism like we saw today. It could be yes to church membership, small group involvement. It could be yes on a financial thing. It could be yes in a relationship. It could be yes in a career move. Whatever it is, would you just tell God, Lord, I'm ready to take the next step? Because each step makes you more of a conqueror and more of a winner. That then takes us to the fourth and the final sequence, and that is you become an overcomer. Now, it's a natural progression. You don't have to stake it out, plan it out. It just happens. You're loving the Lord. You're loving one another. You're walking in obedience. And in the process, you wake up and you're like an overcomer and didn't even know you were winning. But you are. You say, well, what is it that you win over? What is it that you overcome? What is it that you conquer? Well, let me remind you that the enemy we face is Satan and his minions. And so what we conquer is anything and everything that gets in the way of our walk with Jesus Christ and our becoming what He has designed us to become. We overcome it all. And our life counts for Him. Our life fulfills its purpose. And we're winners. We're overcomers. Now, I'm going to kind of let you in an area of our life. And I don't normally do these kind of things. But I'm going to kind of let you in on a deal or two. Back years ago, Jeanette and I were sitting at our kitchen table. We had three kids, and small at the time. And so we're talking about the future. We're talking about finances. We had about 20 bucks in the bank. We were living week to week, Sunday by Sunday. We knew we'd get a check Sunday. We knew that by next Sunday we'd have 20 bucks again. And we're thinking, you know, we got these three kids and they're going to want to go to school. How are we going to make that happen? Well, we don't have much income. And it was scary to us to think about that. And so we talked a little bit and I said, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to keep obeying God with our finances. And we're going to trust Him when the time comes that the money will be there. Amen. So we continue to tithe. We continue to give above the tithe. We continue to give to missions. We continue to give, and I'm talking about money. We continue to give to building funds. And, you know, immediately we stayed week to week, mouth to mouth. So, time's going by, kids are getting older, college is out there. What are we going to do? I don't know yet. We're going to keep faithful, we're going to stay obedient with our finances. When the time comes, money's going to be there. So, James is about to turn 16. And I played golf with my insurance guy. We're eating lunch. I said, say, James is about to turn 16. What's that going to do with my auto insurance? He started smiling at me. He said, it's going to be good for me, but bad for you. So there you had that deal, and you had this deal. And so it just went on. We're like, what are we going to do? Well, James started his first year of college. We cashed in an insurance policy we had on him. We covered the first semester. Man. Second semester came up somehow. We covered that. Fast forward. By the way, a little side street. I've had a kid in school for like 32 years. Let that sink in. I will tell you that James is about to finish it up. In December, he's scheduled to get that PhD in evangelism. So when you see him, pat him on the back and congratulate me, the Daddy National Bank. He just got a raise. And so anyway, here we are. Fast forward today. I've got three kids. I got three bachelor's degrees. Two of them have masters. James is about to get a PhD. We never had to borrow a nickel. Didn't have to borrow a dime. You say, how did that happen? I'm going to have to tell you, I really don't know. But faith is the victory by which we overcome. So we said, God, we don't know how we're going to do this. We're going to obey you, though. And when the time comes, we're just going to trust that you make that happen. You say, well, that's kind of risky. That's kind of stupid. Well, actually, I don't know how much faith it was because it's the only thing we could do. And so I wasn't going to cut back in our giving. I wasn't going to do that. Disobedience in one thing doesn't help in another. And I'm telling you, God came through. God came through. And so today, you look at college debt, and I'm looking down at it with my foot on its neck and saying, I overcame you, Todna. I conquered you. Winning is great. But it's connected to a relationship with Jesus Christ, connected to loving one another, connected to obedience. All that is faith that makes us an overcomer. Now, in my notes, I've got 7 scripture passages. They came from Revelation 2 and 3. Author, John, again. And 7 letters to 7 churches. And in each of those 7 letters, he has a statement to the conqueror, to the winner. He says, I will give. I don't think you have the fortitude to stay with me through those 7 passages today. Do you? No, you don't. You sounded good by saying that, though, and I appreciate it. Next Sunday, that's going to be the texts. And so we're going to talk about the payback, the reward that God gives to the winner, to the overcomer. And it's some incredible things. Now, we're going to sing a last song for the day. And when we're doing that, we want to worship, but we also want to extend you an invitation. There's an open door today. If you have never given your life to Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, you're not going to win. You're going to lose. And so if you would like today to be born again, to receive Him into your life, to get that little taste of the yeast that will eventually encompass your whole life, then make your way to one of our staff while we're singing and share that with them. And we'll make that happen. We'll go to a quiet place and do that. And I would just tell you, what is your next step? Small group Bible study? Church membership? A financial thing? A career thing? Relationship deal? What's that next step? Would you make the commitment to God as we're worshiping, or I'm going to take the next step? And maybe you have no idea what the next step looks like. But you know what? It doesn't matter if you know or not. What God's interested in is you saying, yes, I'll take the next step. I think it even has more power when you don't even know what the next step is. Or I will take it. I will obey you. Now, let me tell you something that's very tragic. I wouldn't want it to happen to me, and I don't want it to happen to you. What about a guy who lives through his life, and everything he does, he's successful. Climbs up the career ladder, makes a whole lot of money, picks up a nice house, does whatever he'd like. He's a good guy to a degree. And then he steps out into eternity. Now, that's the big one. Wouldn't it be tragic if the Lord Jesus Christ looked at him and said, depart from me. And that person begins to argue and says, but wait a minute. Didn't I do good things? Didn't I attend church? Didn't I help people out? Didn't I this? Didn't I that? Didn't I that? And the Lord, and this is what Jesus said is going to happen to a lot of people. He's going to say, depart from me because I never knew you. You were never born again. And unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So don't win everywhere else, but lose the big one. It's possible to go through life and lose everything, lose everywhere, and then step in before God and win the big one when He says, come enter into the joy of your master because you have been born again. And so, I'm just telling you, I'm looking out today across a group of conquerors. Those who have met Jesus Christ, love one another, walking in obedience. You're winning. You're the conqueror. You're the overcomer. And if you would like to get on that track today, the door's open. So as we stand to worship, staff is here at the front to greet you, to say yes to Jesus Christ, to be born again, or maybe to take that next step of obedience regarding church membership, baptism, whatever. Come and get some counsel. We'll help you through that. You want to just come and pray and tell God, next step, Lord, don't know what it is. I'll take it. Or maybe you'll say, God, I know what the step is. I'm going to take it. God bless you as you continue on the road of being a conqueror and overcomer. Yes, a winner. Let's worship. Would you come as we sing?